Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Friday, October the 11th, and first today, four people have been arrested over the death of a man in Canterbury. Police have taped off part of the high street after being called late last night. Now, a man in his 20s is understood to have suffered stab wounds. Our reporter, Leanne Castle, was at the scene earlier.
Parts of the high street have been cordoned off from St Margaret Street all the way down to Guildhall Street and all the roads that lead off from that. There's officers directing people around the cordon. They say they don't know how long it will be shut off for, but have warned people it could be all day. There are forensic officers who are still here investigating. Police have already confirmed that four people have been arrested following a disturbance in the city last night. They say they were called here just after 11:30 p.m. to reports of a disturbance. Now, unfortunately, a man in his 20s has died. They say he was found with injuries consistent with stab wounds.
Thanks ever so much to Leanne for that information. Now, anyone who does have more details about what happened and hasn't spoken to police yet is being urged to contact them on the following number. It's 01843 222289. That's 01843 222289, and you can quote the following reference number. It's 46/172197/24. That's 46/172197/24. You can also call Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111. You can also get these details within the story today on Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
More news for you now, and a cover teacher who flirted with students on Snapchat has been banned from the profession. Alessio Pimpinelli taught at the Judd School in Tunbridge between November 2021 and November the following year. Now, the Teaching Regulation Agency found the 30-year-old exchanged inappropriate messages after adding pupils on the app. It decided he was guilty of unacceptable professional conduct. A man's due to go on trial next February, accused of groping a woman's leg outside Sittingbourne railway station. Amari Ward pleaded not guilty to sexual assault after being arrested last month. The 31-year-old is currently on remand at Thameside Prison. It's emerged a boy needed skin graft surgery following a fire at flats in Gravesend. The 12-year-old was forced to jump from a window after the blaze broke out in the building on Ebbsfleet Walk. He spent 3 days in hospital after it happened last month. Firefighters believe the cause was accidental. The owner of a Dartford cafe told the podcast that nearby roadworks are the reason he's decided to close. Jason Astor will shut Alison's Pantry for the final time today. It's based on Spittle Street, where works started in August and are expected to last for another 5 months. Well, Jason has been speaking to our reporter, Alex Langridge.
I've lost all my morning trade and most of my lunchtime trade, and it's no longer able to sustain that up for any time to keep paying the bills. Customers just can't get here anymore.
So where, you know, obviously they're just outside the shop, how long are they going on for? You know, what's the route for people if they do want to come here?
Yeah, so the roadworks are on now till the end of March, and that's only phase two, and there's another two more phases with no timescales given. If customers are coming by car, they have to wait in the long queues and then have to do a detour to get in and out. And it's just taking them forever so that they don't have time, especially for, you know, if they're going to breakfast break or lunch break. People walking, if they're coming further around from Dartford, they're instructed basically not to come past the shop. And if they do decide to come to the shop, there's a long route again for them to walk around, and it's just cutting down on their time when your shop that's open basically for breakfast and lunches, and usually that's a limited time.
I think on your site here that you said that it's kind of the roadworks made it impossible to continue trading.
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't an easy decision to make.
No, it's a very difficult decision. Yeah, it's still in the early stages of the business, only been running 2.5 years. So now should be the time I'm starting to claw back a bit of the investment, and that's just not happening. It's going the other way, and it's going fast the other way. And that's what's made the decision, because of the lack of trade. And it has other effects, i.e. mental health, things like that. If, you know, you're struggling to pay your bills because of the effects of the roadworks. Yeah, so you have to make these decisions sometimes you don't want to make.
And you say you lost about 85% of the train. How much is that, you know, money?
So on money wise, on a weekly thing, this, you know, the shop doesn't take a massive amount of money, but I'm looking at it's probably about £800 a week. You know, the shop doesn't make a massive amount of money. It's never been a big earner. It's not been about earning money, but when it can't cover its costs, yeah, when it used to be able to. And when the roadworks started, there was that instant drop.
Now, the roadworks are part of a £12 million regeneration project, which is designed to make the town more accessible for both pedestrians and public transport.
Kent Online reports.
It's been confirmed today, new border checks for passengers at Dover and Folkestone have been delayed again. The EU entry-exit system was due to come into force next month, but some countries aren't ready. There have been concerns it could cause delays on Kent's roads. The biometric checks are now expected to be phased in next year. The landlords of a Kent pub say they stand by a controversial decision to ban children and don't care what backlash they get on socials. Mandy Keefe and John Forge opened the Wheel Inn in Westwell near Ashford last week following a two-year closure. Under 14s aren't allowed in, as they argue there's a lack of adult-only spaces. Well, you can let us know what you think today by voting in our poll within the story at Kent Online. Elsewhere, a Dover mum's told the podcast she'd rather go to prison than pay a parking fine. Laura Franklin had left her vehicle at Harbour House car park on the seafront as she was taking her 13-year-old disabled daughter and her friend who has cystic fibrosis to the beach. Now, the car park is part-time public and part-time private, and there is a sign that lists the hours during which the public can park there, 4pm until 8am, Monday to Friday and all day on weekends. But the mum of four says the writing is too small and should be made clearer. She's been speaking to Millie Bowles.
I got the fine because I parked in a private car park. I was in a disabled bay. I displayed my blue badge. I had disabled people in my vehicle. I myself am disabled. All that I can prove. I have appealed the decision. They've accepted that they've received an appeal, but haven't got back to me and have since sent me a further fine for £170.
And how do you feel that's too harsh, what the way they've gone about this?
I think it's dreadful, especially when I did appeal the decision and I provided evidence. And, you know, one of the children is severely disabled. She's got, you know, cystic fibrosis and walks with an aid. I just think it's really wrong and unjustified, and I won't accept the fine.
And so how's it made you feel? Are you angry about it?
I am angry about it. I am, because I feel justified in what I'm saying. There was nowhere else to park. It was a disabled bay. It does say customer car parking, so I thought I would be okay to park here, but in small print, certain hours of the time. So, yeah, I feel... I'm upset about it, I really am.
The car park is operated by GXS Services, who have been contacted for a comment.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent hospital's had to postpone planned appointments after a power cut. Bosses at Darren Valley in Dartford say electricity has now been restored, but there'll be disruption to services throughout the day. Anyone affected will be contacted. Patients are being told not to go to the hospital unless they're asked to. A task force is being set up to lead a revival of Herne Bay seafront after it was described as looking stuck in the 80s. The town is appearing in scenes of drama Joan on ITV this month, and when filming took place last year, some said producers didn't have to do much to make it look retro. Well, now money has been allocated to progress improvements. Moving into Medway, and the leader of the council there has defended plans to sell off 30 of their properties. Gillingham Business Park and Raynham Shopping Precinct are among the sites being considered as bosses look to increase revenue. Well, local Democracy reporter Robert Boddy has been speaking to Medway Council leader Vince Maple.
One of the things we're very clear on is this will not stop any existing leases. So if there are organisations that have leases, they will be adhered to. And I say, if you look at the list of 30, there is a very wide depth and breadth to the types of buildings and sites that we are looking at. So there of course won't be a one size fits all approach, but it is right for us, having had that advice and guidance, And people recognise we've had a 91% cut in our revenue support grant since 2010. So we do have to take some difficult financial decisions. The final point I'd say around this and why are we doing this now? For a number of years, the previous administration set a target of sales of assets and disposal of assets. That target was never met. So some would say actually some of this work should have been done several years ago, and we're now catching up with that.
So as you mentioned, there's 30 properties on this list. As we've heard this evening, not all of them could be sold. It depends on sort of the value of each of them. What has been the criteria to come up with this list of 30, and what would be the criteria to choose which ones would go and which ones might stay?
So some of that will be around things like market value. Some of that will be around, obviously, the conversations with existing tenants. I anticipate that there may well be a number where the organisations who perhaps are currently operating in those sites look to become the owner of them, and I think that will be a discussion we'll have there. Of course, if we're selling them, we do have the opportunity to put in place safeguards or conditions. You know, as a local authority, we may choose to do that.
Plans will be discussed at a cabinet meeting at the end of the month. You can let us know what you think by commenting on the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Maidstone residents rank among some of the most worried in the country when it comes to email scammers. Research from the National Trading Standards found an average of 61 Google searches on online fraud for every 100,000 people. Now, the scams often target the vulnerable and elderly, and Kent Police say they can offer assistance to anyone who needs it. Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott has been speaking to Local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay.
What's the damage that email scammers can do, and what can they do about it if they are worried?
Well, scammers commit heinous crimes against their victims, and they cause millions of pounds worth of losses to them every single year. I would encourage anyone who's been a victim or suspects they're a victim of a scam to forward it to report@phishing.gov.uk. But also please sign up for My Community Voice, because you'll get updates from Kent Police on what trends are happening and also what things are genuine and which is not.
A brown bear who's undergone life-saving brain surgery will continue to be monitored to make sure he's responding to treatment. I'm sure you've heard a lot in the podcast already about Bocky, where he's now recovering back in his den at the Wildwood Trust near Canterbury. Romain Pitsey is the surgeon who carried out the operation.
I'm still responsible for how he does after the surgery, so they will keep watching and seeing how he's doing over the next couple of days, 2 weeks, and if there's a problem or we're uncertain about anything, then we can all make a plan and see how he does.
So far, his carers say he's recovering as well as can be expected. We will keep you updated on Bocky's progress, and you can follow Kent Online on socials today or head to the website to see some incredible pictures of the Northern Lights over Kent. The sky was illuminated across the county last night, as well as in other parts of England. And now with details on everything going on in the county this weekend, here's Watson's Sam Laurie.
Autumn has well and truly arrived, and for lots of people that means long country walks, hearty food and drink, and getting into the Halloween spirit. A great way to tick all the boxes at this time of year is by taking the family to a pick-your-own pumpkin patch. And if you're not sure where to start, don't worry, because we've got a list of the best in Kent up online. Visit the What's On section of Kent Online to find your nearest patch. Some are free entry, with others starting from as little as £1 per pumpkin. There are scarecrow mazes, straw bales, spooky photo opportunities and tasty snacks, and some hot chocolates as well at many of the locations. So check our website to find out more about your local pumpkin patch. Now onto the theatre. Panto season is slowly creeping up on us, but we've still got a few weeks to go. And in the meantime, there are some great shows worth watching. This weekend, you can see the timeless love story, Romeo and Juliet, on stage at the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury. It's showing until Saturday night, when the theatre will then clear the stage and make way for the musical And Juliet, which starts on Monday. The poptastic show gives Shakespeare's tragic tale a new ending and Juliet another shot at finding love without her Romeo. Another musical to watch out for next week is Annie, which is coming to the Stag Theatre in Sevenoaks from Thursday to Saturday. And if you're in the mood for a laugh, comedian Frank Skinner is bringing his 30 Years of Dirt tour to the Orchard West Theatre in Dartford on Wednesday. Tickets for both are still available, so make sure you snap them up. Finally, to help you truly soak up those autumnal vibes, there are two lovely outdoor fairs taking place this weekend. The Autumn Fair at Godington House near Ashford will have stalls from Kent-based producers selling all sorts of goodies, including Asian street food, sweet treats, gin cocktails and mulled cider on Saturday. And on Saturday and Sunday, Great Comp Garden will be hosting its annual Bulbs and Things Fair, where you can pick up seasonal plants and admire colourful flower displays from specialist nurseries. So, whether it's a day out in the crisp autumn air or cozying up indoors to watch a great show, I hope you have a brilliant weekend.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and it's the end of an era at Gillingham as former owner Paul Scally has been voted off the board. This was the moment current owner Brad Gallinson made the announcement at a fans forum last night.
I think everyone will probably be frustrated. I know we are very frustrated with how little we can say about it. So, number one is that Mr. Scally was removed as a director earlier today, both at the football club and GFC Holdings. So that was concluded.
Now, Mr. Scally bought the club back in the 90s and remained involved despite selling his majority share to the Gallinsons in 2022. With more analysis, here's our sports reporter, Luke Cordell.
Since the Gallinsons' takeover of the Gills, there's clearly been plenty of progression on and off the pitch. Mr. Scully had initially remained as a consultant to the American owners, who purchased a majority stake in the club at the end of December 2022. Gallinson said that they became concerned with Mr. Scully's conduct and started the procedure of removing him from office, which on Thursday was passed by shareholders. 300 votes to 11 is the figure stated among those present at the meeting, which was pretty clear which way it went. An announcement was made at a fans forum that took place late that evening, with news of the decision warmly received. It's a sad end to a 30-year stay at the club by Mr. Scully, who's taken the Gills to their best ever finish, 3 trips to Wembley and 4 promotions. Unfortunately, reversing fortunes on and off the pitch led him to seek new investment, and the subsequent takeover by the Gallinsons were just in time as the Gills are heading for relegation into non-league back at the end of 2022. But, well, there is a but. Mr. Scully was at the meeting to remove him, and he gave a speech to those present, as he had done ahead of the vote, saying that he feels it's his right to stay on the board of directors. He feels there's a legal right as part of the takeover deal due to his company holding a certain amount of shares. That's clearly disputed by the Gallinsons. Whether Mr. Scally, now on seeing the overwhelming support towards the new owners, means he withdraws quietly, but that's yet to be seen. He said he's going to set up a website to use as a way of communicating, but the address that he's put out there hasn't been activated yet. He could keep fighting, but both parties have already spent money on legal representation and this could just drag on.
And let's hear from some of the fans who were at the forum. They've been chatting to Luke.
Dave from Gillingham, what do you think to today's news? Paul Scant is off the board.
I think, put it in context, the man 25, 30 years ago did the club a favour, but I think you run out of money, you run out of ideas, and these people that have come in done wonders for the club. It's lovely to come down to a football club again, appreciate what's going on, and I'm very proud. Gillingham man through and through, very happy.
My name's Craig, I'm from Gillingham. In a way, I had the best times as a Gillingham fan here with him in control. However, I think it is time for him to go. Excuse the analogy, but I class him as the Jose Mourinho / Arsene Wenger of chairman. He started off really well, but he never adapted. So I think it's time to go. I don't think he knows it's time to go. And I think it was the push he needed.
It's the right thing for the football club. He's taken the mick out of the fans for too long. And hopefully we can get shot of him very quickly. And then Brad and Shannon can make this club a success.
Staying with Gillingham news, and goalkeeper Glenn Morris has been named League Two Player of the Month for September. The 40-year-old had to step in to replace the injured Jake Turner and has pulled off some brilliant saves so far this season. He's been speaking to the club's media.
Yeah, obviously nice to be recognised in that way, but you know, like obviously, like the team have been brilliant in front of me with the, like defending and you know, like it's, you know, obviously a goalkeeper. You know, you feel like you're doing your job if you're making saves, and that's, you don't want to get too carried away with it. But no, it's obviously nice and it's good to get those accolades.
How much does it help when you have got a settled back four in front of you? That must help communication and kind of psychology between you all.
Yeah, I think there's an understanding, like you said. You know, we obviously played quite a few games together, and you know how everyone's plays and how, you know, what they do in different situations. And Yeah, we've got a good, you know, a good group there defensively anyway, and I think the team as a whole defends well. You know, it's not just the defenders, you know, the back, it's the midfield, the front, and you know, we've got a, you know, a good unit there, but you know, we want to keep that going. You know, that's what's probably one of our strengths, so as a team, so we need to sort of keep that going throughout the season.
Manager Mark Bonner missed out on the award for Manager of the Month after picking it up in August, but we can hear from him now ahead of their game against Accrington Stanley this weekend. The Jewels are currently second in the table but level on points with top place Walsall and will be looking to recover from back-to-back defeats in League Two. Tomorrow's visitors to Priestfield are just one place off the bottom of the table. So here's what the boss has had to say about it.
We watched a little bit of them, obviously, as you'd expect in the last couple of weeks. They've changed system last three or four games, including the cup game, from what they were earlier in the season. They managed to rest a lot of players on Tuesday night for the trophy game, so we'll expect it to be a team similar to the one that got the result last week against Morecambe, which was a big result for them, their first win. And having been in a similar situation where in the past where you're doing okay but not getting results, that first result can be a big lift for your team. So I expect that. The game will take a similar shape to what a lot of their games have, which can be quite stretched, quite open, chances for both teams. They're an aggressive team. Statistically, currently, the most forward-passing direct team in the league, the most aggressive pressing team in the league, as it stands after 10 games. So it gives you an idea of what the game can look like. And they're off the back of a positive result last week. So I expect it to be an energetic game, tough game, one that we'll have to be good in the chaos, play football at the right times, but make sure that we're physically aggressive and tidy the game up in the right moments, but win second balls, defend crosses properly, match people's hard running games in the game. Sorry, so yeah, it will be an interesting game, and one we have to be ready for, but two, we've got our own motivation to get back on track after the last week to get a good result ourselves.
That said, has it been helpful this week to have a free week on the training ground? Really appreciate it was a Kent Cup game Tuesday night, but has it been a good time just to have a midweek fixture to really worry about?
Yeah, I've actually really enjoyed the couple of days. We've had really good training day Tuesday, a really good training day Thursday. Friday will be quite light. And we've had some longer meetings as well because we've had to cram quite a bit in of one, preparation for this game, but also just a bit of a review of where we are and last week and the last game and the block of 10 games. So the lads are probably bored of hearing my voice this week because we've done a lot in here, but we've got a little bit more to do tomorrow. But we have to give them the information when we think it's really important. They have to take it, digest it, use the right bits, and ultimately we have to try and give the right information at the right time. So the meetings have been great and we've been able to do lots of that with the lads this week. And the two training sessions, particularly Tuesday, Thursday, that we've really nailed down some good physical work, has been good as well. Not only for the team off the back of the first 10 games in last week, but certainly a number of individuals that maybe have been lighter on game time or just have missed periods early on. So I think physically good for everybody. Ultimately, how beneficial it's been for us will be the proof of Saturday's game, but we know it will serve us well over the coming weeks, and this week and next week having a full week to train is really helpful, I think.
And finally in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu's withdrawn from two more tournaments as she continues to recover from a foot injury. The 21-year-old retired during her quarterfinal at the Korea Open last month with sprained ligaments. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the very latest review from our secret drinker. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.